You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
Again, gives it away to Johnson and Jaden Wilson again in the backfield.
And he's going to be short. He didn't get that.
Yep. He picks up maybe a yard. Jaden Wilson listed at 6'1", 218 pounds, the former Austin Panther, and it will be blue football as Jaden Wilson gets his defensive unit off the field.
And John, I know it's the spring, but an area, again, we've talked about a lot last year where UTEP has to be better is once they get inside the 40-yard line, what do they do with the football, right? We've really seen them struggle from the 40 to the red zone at times, and I know that's going to be a point of emphasis for Scotty Walden and his offense this year. They didn't have trouble, it seemed, getting it to the 40, inside the 40, but after that it was kind of like, what are we going to do? And then as we get into the red zone, similar problems came up. And again, I think that comes down to having that guy, a bigger body, tight end, receiver on the outside that can win that 50-50 ball. And again, we're going to see who emerges to the top there as that playmaker for UTEP in the fall.
J.P. Pickles is the quarterback. We saw him in the first half, and he takes off. Pickles across the 40, and they're going to rule him down just across the 40-yard line. Pickles a year ago, and we certainly got an indication of his toughness. He carried for 133 yards. He threw in his three appearances for 226 yards, completed 56.5% of his passes. He throws a pass here right, and it's complete to Marcus Torres.
Say he was out of bounds.
Or was there a sack ruled? Let's see. Nope. They're saying that Torres caught the ball out of bounds. So second down at the 40-yard line. The orange 38, the blue 21. We've had only one score in this second half. Running clock. Pickles. Looking left, throws that way, a little slant pattern caught by Xavier Phipps, who's taken down at the 48-yard line after a gain of 7. It'll be third down and 3. They go with an empty backfield. Three of the five receivers to the left side. And Pickles has the snap. Looks right. Lofting one up the right side for Torres, who adjusts to the ball and makes the catch inside the 25-yard line. He beat the defender, Brandon Jones, on the play, and nice adjustment to that throw by Torres.
Yeah, he had to come back about 5 yards there and make that catch, and just a good job, again, winning the one-on-one battle there in the slot.
First down at the 21. Pickles sets up good protection, scrambles to his left side, now tucks the ball away, 20, 15, and out of bounds at about the 13-yard line is Pickles, so he gains 8 on the play. 3:40 to go, clock running.
All right, you got both big receivers on the outside here. Let's see if somebody can make a play in the red zone.
Money to the right, Brooks to the left. Aramoni Roan. Pickles looks left, throws out of the backfield. It's caught by Phipps.
Big hit.
And taken down at the 12-yard line, about a yard short of the first down. So it'll be third down and a yard to go.
Yeah, and that was Tyler Jones there coming up from the safety spot. Nice play there in space. Delivers the big hit on Phipps.
Third down and a yard to go. Pickles throws right, and it's too tall for Torres inside the 10-yard line, so it'll be fourth down and a yard to go with just under 3 minutes remaining.
Isn't it hard not to see, we talked about this at practice the other day, but Julio Lopez is down on the sideline. Isn't it hard not to see a little Julio Lopez and Torres wearing that 80 in the slot there?
Yeah.
Some memories.
Fourth down play here. Phipps motions right. Here's Marcus Taylor carrying, and he's got the first down inside the 10, taken down by Elijah Baldwin at about the 8-yard line. So it'll be first and goal for the blue squad with less than 2.5 minutes to go in this UTEP football spring game. Coming left is Taylor, breaks a tackle at the 6 and goes in. It's a touchdown run for Marquez Taylor. And the Blue has its second touchdown of this second half.
I've been really impressed, John. Again, we talked about the running backs coming into today and kind of the unknown there with guys who have some production and guys who don't. And overall, I think that that's a strong position group again for UTEP. And, you know, they're just going to have to show consistency in fall camp. But a really nice job by the O-line there, creating some space, good vision by the running back getting downhill and punching in one more touchdown.
Evan Scruggs will attempt the point after for the Blue squad, 38-27, and Scruggs' kick is good. So it's a 38-28 game, and the Blue squad has had both scores in this second half of play. 2 minutes and 50 seconds left to play. Look ahead to the fall. Miners will open their schedule on August 30th at Utah State in a much more balanced schedule than the Miners had last year. Last year, UTEP had 5 home games, that's it, only three of which were on Saturday. This year they've got 5 Saturday home games, only one at home during that month of October, where Conference USA plays on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. The Miners will host UT Martin. They'll host Louisiana Monroe in September. Miners will play at Texas in the third game of the season, their second road game. And then Conference USA begins here in the Sun Bowl. First two Conference USA games here at home on consecutive Saturdays. Actually, Saturday, September 27th against Louisiana Tech, and then Wednesday, October the 8th against Liberty, the only midweek home game for UTEP.
Yeah, John, you talked about it. I mean, it was hard to find a tougher schedule really last year, I thought, in my biased opinion, than what UTEP faced. So, you know, overall, much more reasonable this year, much more favorable for UTEP. But again, you got to survive those early challenges against those major FBS programs and Utah State and Texas. You got to come out of those games, healthy and try not to exert too much energy into that and get yourself ready for conference play. But again, just coming home this year, we know what UTEP's going to do in the Sun Bowl. We know how they're going to perform here. It's definitely something to be exciting for in 2025.
For those of you living in and around the Houston area, the Miners will play Sam Houston in Houston on Wednesday, October the 15th. And the Miners will also make visits to 3 first-time destinations, Kennesaw State in late October on a Tuesday, and then against Conference USA newcomers Missouri State and Delaware, their final 2 road games of the year, final 2 Conference USA games ever for UTEP. Of course, the Miners in 2025 will play their final season in Conference USA.
Yeah, and again, I think a lot to be excited there. Some new faces. Again, as UTEP wraps up their time in Conference USA and moves on to the Mountain West next year, which we know how excited everybody is about that and just how much more, from a travel perspective, favorable that schedule is potentially going to be. So, again, I think it's a great wrap to the Conference USA schedule for UTEP. A lot of exciting games out there, a lot of fun games to watch, and I'm expecting a lot out of this 2025 UTEP Miners team.
And, again, we'll have all games for you right here on 600 ESPN El Paso and on the UTEP Miners app. And don't forget your season ticket memberships. Go online to utepminers.com/tickets, call 915-747-UTEP, or go by the Eisenberg Family Ticket Center at the Brumbelow Building on Glory Road, right next to the Don Haskins Center, to get your UTEP tickets. We're at the 2-minute timeout, with the Orange leading the Blue 38-28. The Orange with a 3rd and 7 from its own 28-yard line. Shea Smith is the quarterback. Smith has the snap, flips it out to the right. It's caught by Ashton Nickelberry, crosses the 30 and gets to about the 31-yard line. It'll leave the Miners with 3rd and 4 coming up from there. They stop the clock. Check that. It'll be a 4th down play.
And Nickelberry's another guy last year that we saw some production out of. He was kind of in that number 3, number 4 spot, but had some opportunity. So, again, we've called his name a few times today. He's another playmaker I'll be looking forward to in fall camp, seeing if he can, you know, create some consistency there and be a playmaker for this UTEP offense. He's a talented kid.
The Orange team is going to punt. And I think that's Aiden Webb who's out there to kick it away. Yep. No, it's Kyle Gallegos. The catch is made, a fair catch by Marcus Torres at the 35-yard line. So down by 10 with a minute 42 left to play in regulation. The Blue squad will take over. And actual football play, the two teams are tied at 21. It was that 17-7 edge that the Orange had in the halftime competitions that currently has them in a 10-point lead.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? It felt like the Orange team really dominated this game early on, and the Blue team's done a nice job responding here in the second half, and possibly another two-minute situation here for J.P. Pickles.
Pickles looks left, throwing long up the left sideline. He's got Wandami Davis, and he connects with him inside the 30, and he carries it to the 22-yard line. Wandami Davis, a redshirt freshman from Enos, Texas, did not see action. Saw action in one game for the Miners last year. So the Blue nearing the red zone. Pickles looking. Great protection. Rolls to his right side. Now throws it toward the end zone. And Aramoni Roan trying to come back for it and stay in bounds. Could not make the catch inside the 5-yard line. So it'll be second down and 10 with a minute 13 left to play in the fourth quarter.
I think they got a holding call there.
Yep. Against the Blue squad. Want to thank the local officials who have officiated this UTEP football spring game. Davis and Nick Henry to the left side. Torres and Aramoni Roan to the right side. Here's the snap. Pickles looks. Good protection again. Swings it out of the backfield. Taylor, 35-30. And stumbles toward the sideline, out of bounds at the 28-yard line. So it'll be second down and 15 yards to go from the 28-yard line. 1:03 left to play in this UTEP football spring game. Hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us here this afternoon on this April the 12th. Pickles to throw. Again, time now rolls to his left side. Markers down. He hits his intended receiver, and that was Nick Henry, the freshman. Another holding call, this one against Luca Matamoros, the Miners' left tackle, redshirt freshman. Actually started a game for the Miners last year. 53 seconds left. Ball is spotted at the 24-yard line.
Timeout, Blue.
So the Blue will talk it over. Want to remind you that the UTEP softball team will return to Helen of Troy Field to take on New Mexico this coming Tuesday, April 15th at 2 p.m., and the next conference home series next weekend is Thursday through Saturday, April 17th through 19th. Again, for UTEP softball tickets, go online to utepminers.com/tickets or call 915-747-UTEP. Third down and 12, the ball at the 24-yard line. Pickles, he and Locklear have taken most of the quarterback snaps for the Blue team. Saw Michael Southern for a series. Here's Pickles dumping it off left. It's caught by Davis. 20, 15, 10. First down. It'll be first and goal for the Blues squad at the 9-yard line.
Such a good play call there and perfect timing. Orange brought the blitz. They had everybody inside. Little screen play to the outside there, drawn up perfectly by the Blue offense there for UTEP.
First and goal at the 9. Pickles to throw. Left side dropped by Marquez Taylor right around the 10-yard line. So it'll be second down and goal to go with 33 seconds left to play in the game.
John, we've talked about it earlier, but I think a major indication of where this program is headed is just the competition internally at a lot of these positions, right? Linebacker, quarterback, running back, receiver. Scotty Walden has depth now and guys competing for jobs at every spot, and it's been a lot of fun to watch in the spring game.
Here's Taylor cutting it back, spins, gets down near the 6-yard line, then driven backwards. Out of the secondary, Solo Barnes, a Fayetteville State transfer. Fayetteville State, another Division II program, another smaller school transfer to UTEP. Barnes made that play.
10 seconds here, got to be in the end zone.
Yep, here's Marcus Torres, stretches out, and he's got the end zone. It's a touchdown, little slant pattern, and Marcus Torres caught it just shy of the goal line, stretched it out. And with 4 seconds left, it's a 9-yard touchdown pass from Pickles to Torres.
Yeah, and incredibly impressed with Marcus Torres today, the Pebble Hills graduate. He's done a really nice job just being a security blanket for his quarterback. And again, you develop that relationship over the course of the spring, and it's a guy that Pickles knows he can trust, you know, got to have it situation. 10 seconds left in the ballgame in theory there, and Torres reaches across the goal line after making the catch and scores for the Blue team, who, without those competitions at halftime, could have won this game.
Utah State transfer Tanner Cragen tacks on the point after, so it's a 38-35 game with 4 seconds left to play, and the Blue has absolutely owned the second half of this game.
Yeah, we saw a couple nice drives put together by Malachi Nelson for the Orange, but just unable to come up with any points. And in the Blue, in the run game, in the passing game, and again, we've talked about all these quarterbacks today. Give J.P. Pickles on these last few possessions a lot of credit. He's come in there, and he's controlled the offense. He's played with a lot of confidence. He throws a really nice ball. We know what he can do with his legs. And again, just another body in that quarterback room that breeds competition. It's going to be a really interesting fall.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. From the Sun Bowl Stadium, you're listening to UTEP Spring Football Action. 4 seconds left to play, so essentially this game is in the books. And this could be the final snap of the game.
Looks like they're victory formation.
Yep. Malachi Nelson will take a couple of steps, kneel down, and that will do it. And the 2025 UTEP spring game concluding. The Miners' spring drills are in the books, and the Orange team, largely based on a 17-7 points edge in the halftime competitions, has defeated the Blue squad by a score of 38-35. Cole Freitag enjoyed the opportunity to talk UTEP football with you over the last couple of hours. And come late August, we'll reconvene in Logan, Utah, as the Miners open their football season against the Utah State Aggies.
Yeah, John, I really look forward to it. And again, it's so hard in today's college football landscape to come out here and say, hey, you're going to get an indication of this or that, or, you know, we know all the position battles going on. But at the end of the day, I think Scotty Walden wanted to see these young kids come out here and compete today. He knows he's got a lot of depth at a lot of position. Who's going to rise under the occasion and who's going to kind of, like I said before, pull back and not rise to the occasion. So I think Scotty's just doing a tremendous job with this football program right now. He's got a lot of great coaches in place. You see the energy constantly down on the field right now as he gets the two sides together to shake hands and wrap this thing up. And again, I just can't help but be excited about the direction that this football program going in with the right resources, the time going into it. It's going to be an exciting thing to watch.
Thanks to Alberto and to Sal back in the studio for their work today. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the action. For Cole Freitag, John Teicher from the Sun Bowl Stadium, So long, everybody.
All right, welcome in. We are live from the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa, after UTEP football spring game. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Along with me is Alberto Retta. Zay Galindo was out at the spring game as well. Same with Duke Keith, our friend here on the show as well with 600 ESPN El Paso. We're going to talk takeaways. We're going to talk instant reactions. We're going to talk about all things spring game related. If you want to weigh in on it, let's do it. 915-505-6009. That is our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600 ESPN El Paso on our free mobile app. Check out our app, by the way. That's where you can listen to us in crystal clear quality. And we are so excited to be with you on a special edition of the broadcast out at the district. So if you're just leaving the Sun Bowl, wow, it was a scorcher. Come out. Cool off. Join us out at the district. It's beautiful out here. We're on the patio, but it's a shaded patio. It's beautiful out here. People are taking advantage of the happy hour specials. $2.75 on domestics, $3.75 on Wells, $4 Ornito, $4 Crown. That is all here at the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa, where we are getting ready for the big UFC 314 pay-per-view. They're going to have it here in all three district locations, so check them out. That is the District Pub and Kitchen, 3233 North Mesa, right up the street from the university. So you can check us out here on site, on location, getting ready for Minor Talk. We are live. Team Orange defeats Team Blue 38-35. And, you know, I mean, the score was what it was, but I want to talk a lot about this spring game when it comes to just instant takeaways. And we'll stay on this program here for about an hour. I'd say this about an hour post-game show here on the program. But if you want to weigh in, if you want to talk about it with us, 915-505-6009. Saw sidelines, our pal, he was out there as well. He was having a good time. It felt like a major reunion with everybody who was out there today out at the Sun Bowl. You know, you're seeing basically friends. You're seeing you're also seeing former UTEP players. You're seeing former UTEP players who have now become coaches, who are, you know, in the midst of their professional lives. You know, you're seeing parents of you know, players and stuff like that. So today was just a great experience to just talk about all things, you know, UTEP, and just a reunion. It felt like that more than anything else, like a celebration of the sport itself. So, Alberto, that's kind of the initial takeaways right there. It was all smiles, all excitement at the Sun Bowl today for the spring game. And I think everybody was just pumped just to watch some football action here for the first time, especially getting a chance to see some of these new faces.
Yeah, I think that it was great. I think it was, I was glad I wasn't out there, but it looked like it was a lot of fun. I was watching, keeping up with what Sidelines UTEP had been posting the whole
all
day.
All right, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next, 600ESPNElPaso.com. We are continuing here as we go here on the spring game wrap-up show. Come out and join us at the District West, 32-33 North Mesa, Team Orange 38, Team Blue 35. Might get a chance to see Quentin Demp stop by here later on in the program on the show as well. Yeah, and then with all of this right here, it's going to be very interesting to see how everything shakes out. Ashawn Wilson, by the way, running back for the Miners. We got a chance to see the Charlotte transfer for the first time here today on full display. That was kind of interesting in itself. And then, you know, we got a chance to see some of these other running backs, but I want to get into those position by position. We can go do that. Let's start off with how this game really kicked off in the beginning. It was Shea Smith, the Franklin High School graduate, who was the starting quarterback for Team Blue, I'm going to be flipping and missing all these names. Yeah, he was on Team Blue, and it was so interesting. Or Team Orange, I'm sorry, Blue Blaze. You need like a glossary for all of this right here, Alberto. That's really what you need for the spring game rosters. But when it comes to Shea Smith, he was the starter for Team Orange. That was Will Hernandez's squad. It was interesting because with Shea Smith starting things off for that team, I thought you noticed the improvement from Shea Smith right out of the gate. I was very impressed with him. He hit physically. He's there. You could tell that he has really put on some muscle, that he's really put on, you know, and learned a lot of this playbook over this offseason. And this spring period was probably really good for Shea Smith, learning how to kind of grow into the player that he wants to be at the quarterback position. You know, I don't know what the future is for Shea Smith at QB. He was the first guy to go today in the spring game. I'll say my biggest takeaway about Shea Smith is the fact that he is making himself so hard not to play, not to put on the field. Like, he is playing his way into being almost untouchable when he's just out there. Like, you don't want to keep him off the field. Now, does that mean that he needs to be the quarterback every single time? I don't know. Like, could he play this, like, Taysom Hill Wildcat role? I don't know if that would fit him either. I think he can throw the ball pretty nicely, and it would just be a shame to let that arm talent go to waste right there. So, that was one of the early takeaways I had. Shea Smith was starting things off at the quarterback position, and what you saw right there from Shea Smith in particular. Now, on the first drive, you know, he had a nice pass to Caden Harris, another wide receiver that we heard about this spring season. You know, Caden Harris on this Team Orange squad, he was one of very few wide receivers who even went out and you know, played in this one. No Kenny Odom in the Team Orange portion of it. Remember, Kenny Odom, all-conference player last year for UTEP. He was a mainstay as a receiver. Him, along with Cam Thomas, are back with this squad this year. No Kenny Odom here in today's game for the spring game. Instead, he watched on the sideline and rooted on his team. But I like guys like Ashton Nickelberry, seeing him, you know, play and run routes in this one for the Team Orange. And for Shea Smith, moving out of the pocket, using a scramble ability in a really positive way, was really impressed by that with Shea Smith. And Shea is a guy who could, you know, really do a great job for you know, really good job to actually put all this together. So I'm gonna be really interested to see how Shea Smith continues for next season. He was one of my biggest takeaways from today's spring game. The Franklin High School product, you know, we saw him star at Franklin High School over the course of playing 4 years in varsity football. And Shea Smith, man, he's a powerful runner when he gets going. I'm impressed with what I've seen from him. And yeah, I'm definitely a fan of what we've seen so far from the young buck, Shea Smith, incoming sophomore, is where he's at. So there we go. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Zay Galindo checking in with some recruiting news with me. We'll keep you posted with some more as we continue. But I want to say, the UTEP recruiting team did an incredible job today. They got so many people out there today to be at the spring game. People were really enjoying themselves as far as prospects goes. I saw some local faces that looked familiar, and then I saw some, you know, statewide commits who were also, you know, also familiar, but just by name. I had never seen them in person. So really cool to see that right there. UTEP really capitalizing on recruits. So two early takeaways right there. That's what I'm seeing on my side. Zay Galindo checking in, saying that there's even some, he's stuck around here for the spring game, and he was telling me off air that there are some live commitments going on right now as we speak, Alberto. So, you know, some players fired up. They were really excited about what they saw from the spring game, and I'm hearing from Zay Galindo. We'll get confirmation on some names here in just a little bit. But I'm hearing from Zay Galindo, Alberto, that there are commitments right on hand right now.
Adrian, that's huge. And I'm glad you guys can hear me now. We had some issues earlier. But, man, to just have commits commit just off of their spring game and what they saw and the energy that you brought, that's got to be huge. That's you got to feel good about that if you're Scotty Walden and the UTEP football team.
I think so too, man. I mean, it tells you that you're motivating people, you're getting people fired up and excited about your program. And if this name is true from Zay, and I'm waiting for him to post it on his side so we can just relay the information, it's a really big name out of the class of 2026 in El Paso. It's one of the top prospects in El Paso who announced today that he will be committing to UTEP. So we'll be excited to reveal that name here in just a little bit and talk a little bit more about the spring game as we continue. 915-505-6009. Mex Tex Minor checks in on the program. What was your guys' opinion on what you saw in the downfield passing game? Last year, that's what seemed to hurt us, not being able to go over the top and stretch the field. Well, this is a perfect segue into the Team Blue side of things and quarterback Skylar Locklear, who was the first starter on that side of the ball. Now, Skylar, I thought he was the one who was being the downfield thrower as far as all the quarterbacks today. When you compare Malachi Nelson, Skylar Locklear, Shea Smith, J.P. Pickles, Chad Warner. It was Skylar taking those deep shots here today. Now, connecting on those, that's another thing, man, because connecting on these has been the biggest issue for UTEP moving forward. If I had to give, you know, like an area of priority in this transfer portal process, remember, the transfer portal window should open up here in the next, I'd say the next 5 days. The transfer portal could end up being a place where UTEP tries to find more receivers, just simply put. They need more receivers coming in their way. When you look at UTEP today, that was my biggest concern for them in that downfield passing game. You need more receivers who are going to go over the top and grab it. They don't have that big of they're like receivers are not that lengthy, and they need somebody like a Kelly Akari. Remember him not too long ago for UTEP football. He was, he ended up transferring over to Mississippi State, but he was a sizable wide receiver. Jeremiah Ballard, that's another name, 6'4". He's a sizable wide receiver who could just go up and get it. And I think UTEP is maybe missing that. They've got their slot nailed. I really like the tandem of Cam Thomas, who's playing that minor back role, and then Kenny Odom, who's just exceptional. He didn't play today in the spring game, but he's a great addition, or re-addition, I should say, to this year's squad. The other name to note that I saw out of the slot wide receiver position, Marcus Torres. He caught a nice pass today as well from Skylar Locklear. I was really impressed by him in today's spring game. He is going to be playing Alberto, the son of Mark Torres, who was the Pebble Hills High School head coach. He now coaches at Buda Hayes in Austin. We saw Marcus Torres shine today in the spring game, catch a couple passes from the likes of Skylar Locklear. So that was nice to see a local product like him stand out.
Yeah, that was awesome, Adrian. I continuously heard John Teicher mention him on the offensive side, so that was really cool. I heard him mention his dad in Buda Hayes, and so it'll be interesting to see what him and also linebacker Jaden Wilson can do. You got to get those UTEP guys, I mean those El Paso guys, you got to get them involved, and you want them to be, you know, key players in any part of your UTEP athletics. So to me, that's a big deal. You want those guys to succeed.
Yeah, you do. And you just also want them to get a great opportunity. And they seem to be getting those opportunities coming their way. Hey, we're live at the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa, right by the university. So if you're looking for a spot to grab a bite to eat, it's family friendly. You could stop by. They've got incredible rolled tacos. They've got great burgers. My favorite thing when I come here to the district is their chicken wraps with fries. I love that. That's one of the best combos that you can get out here in El Paso. Stop by, grab a bite to eat, and take advantage of happy hour specials. Happy hour going on until 6 o'clock here at the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. Stop by and join us here as we continue for the special Minor Talk show here on the program. And a couple other takeaways, all right? Let's keep it going. We were starting off with Team Orange, and we talked a little bit about Shea Smith. Let's go back and continue with more with that squad in particular, Team Orange. It was running back Hashawn Wilson who raced in for a 17-yard touchdown to get the scoring started here for the Team Orange. But right before that, it was actually off a turnover. Skylar Locklear, quarterback for Team Blue, was nearly picked off by Tyler Jones. And, it was nearly a turnover, I should say. But I was really impressed with pass rusher Derek Burns on the defensive line for Team Orange. He wears number 11, and he was just active on the defensive line. He played as if he had something to prove, like he needs to earn a starting spot or something like that on next year's squad. Jalen Jones, another guy off the edge who I find really impressive for his size. I also find Echo Taylor pretty impressive for his size on the defensive line. But what I saw from number 11, Derek Burns, a fast-moving guy. Dare I say, maybe the most Jadrian Taylor-like player since JT himself was rushing the quarterback 2-3 years ago and led Conference USA in sacks in a single season. So that was a real nice surprise to see the nice strength from that defensive line and what we saw from there. Now going back over to Skylar Locklear, the confidence is oozing from him, right? Like I'd say he, out of all of them, played the most I guess, efficient ball today. He was somebody who was commanding of that offensive line, commanding of the offense, knows the offense very, very well. I'm not worried about him whatsoever when it comes to knowing the offense and kind of generating, you know, different plays or grasping the concept, I would say. The issues that Skyler has are, you know, maybe the decision making and maybe taking just a little bit too long on some of those throws. I'd say him moving through his progressions, moving through his reads, will be a key thing to watch over the rest of this offseason, because I will want him to develop further in that, where you can actually go through your progression. You can see your option A, option B, option C, and go to that within a shorter span. That will help him play more turnover-free football. That will help him in the long run win more football games and score more points. So I liked what I saw from Skyler Locklear. It kind of reminded you of what you saw last year, but at the end of last year, Skyler Locklear was kind of coming onto the scene for UTEP football. So as of right now, I think if the season started tomorrow, I think everybody would agree that Skyler's probably the guy at QB1, and then it's probably, you know, a big question mark at QB2, which is a perfect segue into the next guy, Malachi Nelson. Okay, he's the biggest storyline this spring, bar none, the quarterback competition. Malachi Nelson, the five-star prospect in 2022 out of high school. He was a number one recruit going to USC. Didn't work out there behind Caleb Williams. Transfers to Boise State last year. Doesn't work out there at Boise State. I said class of 2022. By the way, it was 2023 for Malachi Nelson, where he was number one by ESPN. Then, after Boise State this past season in 2024, no success there to get onto the field. He was a backup primarily all season long for the Broncos. He comes over to UTEP. This is his stop. This is his chance right here to take a starting position. And Alberto, this starting job will drag into the fall. There's no question about that. I leave today, underwhelmed is unfair, I think. I think I leave today with question marks on what's next for Malachi Nelson. And I think he's going to really need this offseason to learn the playbook fully and to feel comfortable as a quarterback here in this system.
Adrian, yeah, you leave with more questions unanswered than answered, because you didn't see anything out of Malachi Nelson that tells you this guy's going to lead UTEP to the next level. And I think that's what a lot of Miner fans wanted, and unfortunately they didn't see that today. And on the other hand, you were just talking about Skyler Locklear. In my opinion, he has the upper hand in this quarterback battle, because he knows the system, he knows the playbook, he knows the team, and he's coming back as confident as ever. And so, in my opinion, this job is Skyler's to lose, because Malachi has to come in, learn everything new, get everyone to buy into what he's selling, and then lead the team. So I think that Skyler's got the upper hand at that quarterback battle. And what Malachi showed today, although it was just a limited number of plays, it wasn't number one recruit in the nation.
Yeah, I'm with you completely on that. And I think you're going to have to see it translate to the college level in order for you to give him the keys to the car. Like, this team needs to win next year. This team needs to be competitive. Sorry about the technical difficulties there. Miner Talk continues here at the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. Come out and join us. If you're leaving the UTEP football game, you want to grab a bite to eat, you want to grab some drinks, join us. We are live, District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. Grab a bite to eat, grab some great food. Look, they've got some. I see somebody ordering the rolled tacos. I see somebody else with the franwich. That's one of George Wajardo's favorites. That is definitely all happening here. District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. Great to see the Chacone family here in attendance. Joe Chacone stopping by here on the program as well. Great to see some of the other UTEP fans making a stop here on their way home. It was great to see some of the former UTEP players actually out there today. It was Jadrian Taylor winning the 40-yard dash over Cornelius Brown. Jadrian Taylor went crazy, man. He was running all over the side lines, hopping over a bench. He was going insane after winning that one right there. And big shout out to him. It was great to see Jadrian Taylor. He's looking great. He's coaching football at Da Vinci High School here on the west side. Big shout out to Jadrian Taylor. Also got a chance to reconnect with Kavika Johnson. Yes, Kavika Johnson. Man, he was one of, for those who know, Kavika Johnson was one of the top, if not the top, high school prospects in the area about 10 years ago. And Kavika was somebody who played quarterback at Las Cruces Mayfield High School and would go up against some of these awesome different players that would play here in El Paso. It was just so impressive to see go up against Trevor Vitito in the long toss. That was so cool to see right there. And for Kavika Johnson, he's working on music. He's training here in West El Paso and doing a great job. Great to see Kavika Johnson today. We were reminiscing about some UTEP moments that he had. Remember, he was one of the few players who made a position change from quarterback to wide receiver. And yeah, for Kavika Johnson today, it's just great to see him out there and great to just catch up with some of these former UTEP players. Alberta, that's one of the cool things about this, man. We get a chance to reconnect with some familiar names, some familiar faces that we haven't had a chance to see in a long time.
The way that UTEP formats these spring games and invites a bunch of alums and former players back and gives them the opportunity to talk to the team and the community, that's awesome. I wasn't there this time, but I was there last time, and it was a whole lot of fun. I did get a little bit of FOMO not being there, Adrian. So, you said it earlier. It was kind of like family. It's like you get to see everyone again. I know it's what it feels like at most UTEP athletic events is you see the same people over and over. So it's a lot of fun.
It was a good time. It was a good time for sure. And you know what? I'll say this too. Quinton Demps, he ran it back. He decided to come back and coach against, yes, he also ran it back, Will Hernandez. So you get a chance to see two NFL players go up against each other, one currently active in the NFL, of course, Quinton Demps himself. He's coaching college right now at Judson University. For him, he was so excited, animated on the sideline. He loves to mentor some of these athletes and stuff like that. So, yes, for Quinton Demps, it was great to see him out there. For Will Hernandez, he was there with his Miho Things crew. He is now excited about his partnership with the A&A All the Way Foundation. It's A&A The Miho's Way camp that's coming up in the summer. And they were talking about that. 150 campers will be in attendance for Will Hernandez, Aaron Jones, Alvin Jones camp. They hit the capacity yesterday. Did I say 150? I meant 1,500. Because they told me this today, and I was my jaw dropped. I was like, wait, really? What? But that's how many kids that they're going to actually have out there, which is amazing. They've registered that many kids for the free camp that's coming up in the summer. And got a chance to catch up with the Miho Things crew, Josh Ortega, Derek Elmendorf, all former Miners. And it was excellent to catch up with some of those guys right there. You know, some of the other former Miners who are out there as well, you got to look at guys like, Roy Robertson-Harris, who is a current player with the New York Giants. That was awesome to see. He is so, so cool. And he has done so much throughout his career. And really, really impressed with all that he's accomplished, in the NFL. Really, really impressed with him on the program. 915-505-6009. I'm getting texts from some of the former players here, like Quinton Demps, who's saying, hey, I want to stop by the show. And so, yeah, I'm encouraging him. Stop by. Join us at the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. See who else we can get out here as well as we continue. Want to mention this one right here, the UTEP recruiting. Excellent job. I mentioned this briefly, but they did a great job bringing people outside of El Paso and inside of El Paso to the Sun Bowl to be, take a look at UTEP, be recruited. But the prospects were out in a big way for UTEP, and they did a great job just getting people excited, getting their recruits excited. Most definitely. Joe Chacon was just telling me off air that he got a chance to see the Malachi Nelson family, which was a really cool thing in itself. So it was a day for family. It was a day just for everybody to experience all sorts of things for UTEP football and to soak it all in as a more of a celebration and less of things to take away. Listen to this one. RJ at RJ33230068169. Wow, that was a lot. Malachi Nelson is QB1. Stop playing. That's coming in from somebody on Twitter and X. You know, I'd say this. If Malachi wasn't the starting quarterback come August, I'd be surprised just knowing that they put so much effort into recruiting him here. And if he wouldn't be the day one starter, well, what happened? So going to be interesting, you know, what ends up happening here for UTEP moving forward. 915-505-6009. JP Pickles, this is coming from the Text Truth. JP Pickles played far and above better than all the other quarterbacks in the spring game. His passing, his decision-making, and his ability to run makes him the standout quarterback when measuring the total package. Skyler still does not have the long ball nor the accuracy. That is coming in from the Text Truth. I'll say this, for JP Pickles, like the way he moved around the pocket, I would say for JP Pickles, still needs to learn a little bit more. And remember, we still didn't get a chance to see Cade McConnell. He's still injured. He's still out of the mix. Cade McConnell will be somebody to look at here moving forward in the quarterback competition here when it's all said and done. Seven quarterbacks on the roster. I don't expect that to be the case after the next 2 weeks or so. Remember, transfer portal window opens up, I think it's April 16th. 16th, which is this upcoming Wednesday, and when the transfer portal window opens up, they'll have some players hit the portal, but they'll need to grab some guys out of the portal as well. Let's go to the phones right now as we continue. 915-505-6009. Sidelines, it is great to hear you with us on the program. Sidelines is joining us, Sidelines UTEP. Check them out, SSN underscore UTEP on Twitter and X. Sidelines, what's going on, man? It's great to hear from you.
I know. Hey, guys. Like, calling in during the spring for football, man. It doesn't sound right, but it feels awesome, man.
Doesn't sound right indeed. We were just talking basketball like a month ago. Sidelines, that's exactly the case. What were your takeaways? You were out there. You were on the sidelines itself. What were your takeaways from UTEP spring game?
Oh, man. First off, it was hot. I did not wear shorts. I wore jeans. So it was hot, man. I was burning up. But despite that, the weather was nice. I really liked what I saw from Hassan Wilson, man. Like, man, that kid was running all over the place today. And I think UTEP needs somebody to take, you know, Jebion Jackson's role from next year. And, man, he was running all over the place. I liked what I saw from him. Also, the offensive line, man, the run support, the run blocks, man, it was all kind of figuring out today, man. Last year wasn't the best, and I kind of saw a little bit of improvement in that end. But, again, it's spring ball. You know, you want to see this during September. Not so much of April, but it's good to see it right now.
Yeah. That's a good point. You know, one of the other things I saw, the fact that Wandamae Davis Jr. scored a touchdown on a screen pass from Skylar Locklear. You posted that video. But to touch more on the Hassan Wilson thing, you know, they didn't land the running back from North Texas. They end up landing Wilson when it was all said and done. Wilson's kind of their de facto number one running back. He's going to be RB1 here moving forward, in my eyes. The only other person I could think of to maybe contest him is maybe Marquez Taylor, maybe Cam Thomas, but that's even a stretch right there. Sidelines, what do you think?
No, yeah, most definitely. I think Wilson's really secured that backfield, man. I feel like Scotty's offense needs at least, you know, a good running back. And last year we kind of paid the price. We didn't really get a lot out of our backs as much as we wanted to see from them last year. They had a pretty okay year, but not what we wanted to see from them. You know, we want to see them at least running 800, 900, close to 1,000 yards in that season, man. Like, Scotty runs the ball a lot. You want to have a good, efficient back. But, man, that Marcus Torres kid, though, I kind of did a little bit of research on him. Oh, my God, man. He was all over the field today,
yeah.
Adrian.
Yeah, he's, you know, when I saw him at Pebble Hills, I'm going to be honest. Here's my evaluation for you, Sidelines. I thought he could get open. He could find these open lanes and open spaces as a receiver. But I felt like in the big moments, you know, sometimes it was just difficult for him because of his size. He was a slot receiver. But you know what? I love how Scotty Walden is using him. I feel like they're using him the best way possible. And he still has that elusiveness to get the separation between him and the defensive back. But what I've noticed from him is his route running has really improved. His ball catching and his, you know, just like, you know, catching these passes has really improved from when he was a high school player. And maybe he's going to earn himself some playing time. Dare I say, is this the new age Ray Flores right here? Remember, Ray Flores was a preferred walk-on just like Marcus Torres. And Ray Flores ends up being a scholarship player and ends up being one of the senior leaders when it was all said and done for his squad. Maybe that's the kind of path that Marcus Torres could take.
Oh, man, I'm praying for that because, man, I didn't really know much about Ray Ray until later on in his career. And I was like, man, this kid, playing with a huge chip on his shoulder, and he just kind of balled out his last 2 years at UTEP. And, man, if we see kind of a Ray Flores in this Marcus Torres kid, oh, man, this offense, the sky's the limit for the offense, man. I think there's a lot of ways you can utilize this kid. He's got to, you know, obviously maybe get a little bit more bigger, but, man, I think he's, what, a redshirt freshman, right?
Yeah, only a redshirt freshman.
So he's got a lot of time, man. But I like what I saw from the offense today, Adrian. I don't know, man. I was the offense's biggest critic last year. A good majority of the games they played, they kind of looked stagnant. Today, it kind of seemed like it flowed kind of well, you know. A lot of players kind of understood the calls. There wasn't a lot of confusion. And, I mean, even Skyler had his moments today, you know.
Sure. I'm with you completely. Hey, man, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you for weighing in. Wait, real quick, before I let you go, sidelines, Derek Burns, man, he jumped off the page for you. He really jumped off the page for me. If I could give one bold take at the end of the spring game, I'm going to say Derek Burns leads UTEP's defensive line in sacks this upcoming year.
I'm for it, man. I forgot about the mention about Derek Burns, man. He destroyed the offensive line today. I love seeing him just kind of swim through, like, the guards and the tackles, man. He's just a force down low, man. And, man, if he could stuff the run, and then if he can even sack the quarterback, too, while he's at it, man, oh, man. UTEP's defense really needs that for next season.
Okay. You're fired up there, Sidelines. I appreciate it, man, as always. Check him out on Twitter next, at @SidelinesSSN_UTEP. He's our pal. He joins us here on Minor Talk as we continue. If you want to follow up that call with any takeaways you had, 915-505-6009, or come out and join us at the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. That is where we are located. Come on down. Come on by. We'd love to see you here after the UTEP spring game. Just a couple other takeaways here, and we're not going to go too long on this one here, Alberto, as we continue. I just want to say some of the other standouts that I saw here. Let's go back over to Team Blue. This is Quentin Demps' squad. You know, we got a chance to see Cash Cheeks the first time today. Tight end. He wears number 17. I'm going to go out and say it. I like Judah Ezinwa still a little bit more. Judah played on Team Orange, and Judah wears number 82. He took over Marcus Vinson's number. Judah Ezinwa, I mean, had a really nice touchdown grab here today in this one. I really liked his game. Last year, dealt with injuries. The Riverside, California product always dealt with injuries, and so it was nice to see him out there today kind of show up and then score a big touchdown when it was all said and done for that Team Orange. Other guys who I was impressed by, Let's go off with some of the quarterbacks. Let's switch it back over to more evaluations with Malachi Nelson. Look, with Malachi, his arm strength is the strength that he has as a quarterback. His ability to throw a spiral is his strength. I mean, beautiful ball that he throws. I'm worried on the decision-making. I'm worried on how long it takes him to process things as just a quarterback. I'm a little worried about his pocket presence and his pocket awareness. So those are just some early worries I have. But it's to be understood. You know, you can understand that kind of thing right there. Malachi's still just learning the offense, learning all the different players on the team. And I'll say this, if you needed to upgrade any position during the transfer portal, it's got to be receiver. It's got to be receiver moving forward, because there were a lot of drop passes here in this one, Alberto. That was one of the things I'm sure you guys heard a lot from Voice of the Miners, John Teicher, is that drop passes from this UTEP wide receiver core.
Yeah, we continuously heard John Teicher allude to that, and I think that there's no room for that, especially here at UTEP, where they're continuously in close games or they're getting blown out. So you need to be able to execute efficiently. And I think that they were talking about Tahir Brooks, I believe his name
yes.
is, who is a wide receiver who is 6'7", I believe. I know Cash Cheeks is correct me if I'm wrong, he's above 6'5 as well. So
yeah, he's like a basketball player. Yeah, yes, that is correct.
I like the height that they've brought, so I'm excited for that in both Cash Cheeks and Tahir Brooks. It's a lot of exciting pieces. They just need to make it work and eliminate the drop ball, because also from the drop ball comes more interceptions and turnovers.
No doubt. One of the other guys, I mentioned him briefly, Wandame Davis Jr. with Sidelines. He's a guy, wears number 23, shorter guy, but kind of like fits the Cam Thomas, Kenny Odom role. You know, it's weird, Alberto. They've got like three or four players who remind me of Cam Thomas, and Kenny Odom. Three or four other players. And it's Marquez Taylor. It's Wandame Davis Jr. It's Marcus Torres, even a little bit of it. And I can see it even with Caden Harris. So this team loves their slot receivers for whatever reason. I think you're going to need a downhill, go up and get it kind of receiver when the season actually kicks off. So curious to see where they go in the transfer portal when it's all said and done, man. Let's keep it going. 915-505-6009. We got a phone call to get to. Sorry about that, Albert. That was thrown it your way, but you were answering a call. I'll swing it back over to you. You tell me, if you were UTEP over this transfer portal process, the transfer portal window opens up on April 16th. There could be even a roster limitation when it's all said and done on UTEP's roster count. What would you do? What would you prioritize as far as positions go?
After what I mentioned at the size, height at all the receivers, I would go I would just make sure that your running back position and your running back room is fully stocked for what the long year is. I liked what we saw today from Hashawn Wilson. He sounded like he was doing well and commanded a presence on the field, so you like that, but you want to make sure that you're not getting into RB3 and 4 later into the season and you don't feel confident as to what they can bring to the table. We saw that happen just last year for the Miners.
We did. We saw a lot of those different things. And I also would say, like, going back to sideline's point, they probably need more of a dynamic, like, 1,000-yard rusher or, like, an 800-yard rusher who's just going to carry the load for them. And maybe Wilson is that guy. Or maybe you can, like you were mentioning right there, continue to add the skill position spots to give yourself some more firepower offensively moving forward. So there you go. 915-505-6009. Jude is next up with us as we continue. Really appreciate Jude joining us here on the program. Jude, good afternoon. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I had a great time at the spring game, but I'm going to play a little bit of, I think it's Zay's segment, some stock up, stock down.
Oh,
really,
let's do
high.
It.
Yeah, really high on the running game. And I'm hoping Scotty Walden is able to recognize, hey, we have a real strength here in the running game. That O-line was opening up some holes, and Hashawn Wilson, I feel like, is a great guy. Stock up on the transfer portal signees. Like you were mentioning, Derek Burns, I think, is a transfer portal guy. Hashawn Wilson, can't really name drop anybody else right now off the top of my head, but stock up on those. Stock down on Malachi, and I hate to say it, but here's a comparison I think was really interesting. I get a Trey Lance vibe from him. Incredible arm talent, incredibly young, and I'm a huge Cowboys fan, Miner fan, so I think this will resonate with some Cowboys and Miner fans here in El Paso, but Trey Lance, really young, really good arm talent, can't really make the connections that we need him to. I see Skyler Locklear as QB1. He felt like he had the command. I can see him being a game manager and having a good run game this season. And I hope that that's the formula to win. It looks like our defense is holding up, too, from my perspective. Tell me what you think.
Well, my concern on the defense is the DBs. I wasn't overly impressed with the receivers. And for them to give up some of those plays, I started questioning some of the DBs. The one DB who really stood out to me, man, Xavier Smith. He had this, like, rip out. I guess it was maybe against Caden Harris in the first half. Really loved that play. Like, he's a gamer. Lance Russell, too. Those are my favorite guys in the secondary. But outside of that, I think they need some help. There's some guys who can make some plays here and there. But overall, I think for the majority, you're just going to need a little bit more. You're just going to need a little bit more from that secondary moving forward. The offense, the Malachi stuff that you saw is the same thing that I saw. If the depth chart came out tomorrow and I was the one, Jude, who was filling out the depth chart, I'd probably go number one, Skyler, number two, Shea, number three, Malachi. And that would just be me right now without Cade McConnell in the mix either. That would be my 1, 2, 3. I'll just tell you this, Jude. Are we downplaying how good Shea looks? Because maybe Shea just took a big step forward. And then as far as, like, the Trey Lance comparison, maybe that's the case. Maybe it's just the fact that he has zero continuity as far as a play caller goes. Like, Malachi's had three separate play callers over three separate years.
No, I downplaying Shea's talent, I think, is something that has gone on since last year as well. I was always in the stands asking, you know, telling coach, yelling at coach to put in Shea. I was heartbroken when I saw JP Pickles get the start. No shade to him. I love Shea, though. I really hope we can, you mentioned it earlier, some Taysom Hill type package, some Wildcat, some third down, you know, punching it in kind of stuff. I think that would be great. But I see Skylar Locklear taking the one, like you said. And hopefully, I realize Shea Smith, redshirt freshman, we got a lot of time. I didn't realize Marcus Torres was a redshirt freshman either. I thought that guy was on his upperclassman years. I think if they could get a connection going, Marcus Torres gives me like a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman slot kind of vibe. And gosh, that guy is shifty. And the way he was getting open, I didn't see a lot of receivers getting open the way he did today. I'm really excited about the future of what could be that connection, those two El Paso guys.
You know, I like the confidence bug that he's got right now. It looks like Marcus is just playing confident with nothing to lose. I would say this. He played punt returner, kick returner, and special teams in high school. Give him a chance. Let him return some punts here in the future. That's my only wish for Marcus Torres moving forward. Jude, great call. Any last thoughts here as we get ready for the offseason?
No, I'm excited. I appreciate you guys taking the time with me.
Awesome. Good stuff, man. 915-505-6009. That is our telephone number, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter, and X, 600ESPNElPaso.com. Joe Chacon, who's right next to me, checking into the program. Cam Thomas is going to be a legit threat. Locklear seems to have the offense down. Ezinwa is going to open up the passing game. Shea Smith is super fast, and Jalen Jones is going to be a beast on defense the more he plays. Hashtag not enough room for my hashtags. Hashtag hanging with pops. Love it, man. And repping from the district now. I like that one, too. Instead of repping from Colorado now. I like it. And Pinky checks in. The district. Missed it. Enjoy, guys. Good stuff there, Pinky. I like it. We're out here. 3233 North Mesa. Come on out and join us. It's the Minor Talk special post-game show. We'll be out here for, another, I would say, 15 more minutes before we wrap things up here on the program. Then we'll get ready for the big UFC pay-per-view tonight. So come on out. If you're looking for a spot to watch UFC 314, we'll be here for it, and no cover for UFC 314. That's an exciting part as well. So if you're just leaving the Sun Bowl, stop by the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. Grab a bite to eat, grab some drinks, happy hour till 6, and we will continue here as well. 915-505-6009 as we continue. There are some other interesting takeaways that I had from today's matchup right here. The other one is, we talked about commitments earlier. I think I'm going to go ahead and just say it, because this is our boy Zay Galindo who gave me this one right here. It appears as if class of 2026 standout prospect from Chapin High School, Davion Singleton, who plays both wide receiver and cornerback, committed on site after the spring game. Zay was on site reporting and saw that they basically rolled the red carpet out, Alberto, for Davion Singleton. You got a chance to obviously cover him throughout Football Friday night as well. You know what kind of player he is. Davion Singleton commits on site post-spring game. How about that?
Adrian, that's huge. Davion Singleton committing to UTEP immediately after the spring game. That is huge if true. Big if true. I hate to say that, but big if true. But, man, it must have been electric down there at the Sun Bowl for him to just decide, hey, I want to commit to the Miners.
Right? I mean, there must have been something that really pushed the needle. But, man, Davion Singleton, one of the top players in the class of 2026, no doubt about it. He plays on both sides of the ball at Chapin. Played a little quarterback, Alberto. Don't forget that. He was a quarterback his freshman year. Shout out Trevor Vitito, who put him in that position right there with the Huskies. This past year, switched it back over to little receiver, little corner, and did a great job. He's a speedster, man. He's really fast.
Yeah, he's not only fast, but he's also extremely, extremely strong. So in this junior season, 24-25, he had 11 games played. He had 9 passes attempted, 4 completed for 96 yards. And then on the rushing side, he had 87 carries for 733 yards and 7 touchdowns on the year, just rushing alone. But he also is a prolific catcher. So, yeah, he can do a little bit of everything. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets polished up. And if the Miners manage to get him, that's a big get. And that's a big way to win the West. You like that?
There you
like
go.
How you did
yeah,
that?
I like that one. I like how you did that one. Good stuff. Hey, I want to mention another guy, Atiq Muhammad. interception today. What a interception it was, by the way. He's like a 6'3" lengthy cornerback that UTEP has. He filled in at that Landon Hullaby position, and man, I was very impressed with that interception. Atiq Muhammad coming up big, creating a turnover for that defense. Alberto, I'll ask you, what were some of your takeaways from this spring game, hearing it from Voice of the Miners, John Teicher, and from everything that you got a chance to see?
Well, my biggest one is I think that the confidence that Skyler's playing with, I think that the way he went out and played and commanded the team, I think that he feels better than he did coming into last season, obviously. And I think he's risen up to the level of competition that Malachi Nelson is brought to the table. And he's not backing down to that QB2 position that, like, a lot of people want him to. And I like that. You want that level of competition to be elevated in that quarterback position, so that you know that game one, they're rolling out the best quarterback, and he's going to give them the best chance to win.
Yeah, another one that I want to throw out there is this one coming in from at the Guru 0606. Cool to bring in high school recruits, but the game has changed in college football. It's all about NIL dollars, roster management, and the portal. College football games are won with 21-year-old grown men. If a head coach can't win or struggles this season in CUSA, the Mountain West will be a nightmare. Alberto, I think this is a great way to close out the show and just kind of give out some final wrap-up thoughts. We're going to go back live and talk a little bit more, or I should say assess more, throughout the week on Sports Talk post-spring game and, you know, once the transfer portal window officially hits. But I will tell you, just like the Guru said right here, that this season is pivotal for UTEP football. 2025 is huge for UTEP because they want to stay stronger in CUSA, and they want to finish out their Conference USA run much better than how they have started or how it's been going, basically. And they want momentum going into the Mountain West, unlike how they've had a lack of momentum in CUSA. There's hype, but when there's hype, everybody holds you accountable. And last year, you know, 3 wins just didn't cut it. This year, wins are going to be important, I think, for this squad. I think you're going to have to hold this squad accountable, knowing who they brought in the transfer portal and who they brought as far as top back-to-back recruiting classes here. So I will close this one out here with you, Alberto, by telling you that this is a pivotal year. I get it. NIL money is what it is. I was talking to donors on the sideline today, feeling very confident about NIL dollars here for the football program moving forward. So I am looking at college football right now, the landscape. It is won by 21-year-old men. He's right about that, no doubt about it. The biggest difference is UTEP has had momentum in the transfer portal with recruits. If they can continue to capitalize on that, maybe they continue to add more players here in this window, and that actually leads to wins in the fall that can actually bring you some substance, Alberto. What do you think?
Adrian, I think you're definitely on the right track, as is the UTEP Miners football team, with the great recruits, with the great recruiting classes that they've brought in. And now all they need to do is continuously win games. Fans and students alike feel and see the season ahead and feel like, hey, we're so close to making a difference. We're just a few games. We're just a few possessions from getting into X, Y, and Z. I don't want to put any expectations on this team, but a lot of people have a lot of high expectations on this team just because of those two things you said, the great recruiting class, and now the amount of money that's being influxed into the program. So the time is now, and you don't have room to mess up because, like you said, the move to the Mountain West. So it's a huge season for UTEP football, and it should be a lot of fun.
Most definitely. I agree with you completely. And one of the things that we... I hear you. Yes, I hear you. All you have to do is hit the KRD macro, my friend. Sorry about that. Some technical difficulties here with Alberto back at our studio right now as we continue. River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios as we continue. Alberto, good stuff right there, man. I appreciate it. We will send it over to ESPN Radio right here, guys, as we continue. This is going to wrap us up here on the program. District Pub and Kitchen West is where we will be, 3233 North Mesa. We appreciate everybody for listening in to our one-hour post-game edition of the show. This one, a final tweet coming in from Joe Chacon. They need to leave with the conference championship. No less. Can't leave Conference USA never having won it. Period. Hashtag do or die. Hashtag go into the Mountain West as CUSA champs. I like it, Joe. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it. And that's the expectation, that they contend. Maybe not win the CUSA championship, but are at least in the mix when it's all said and done. That's got to be one of the goals for this squad moving forward. Is that a high expectation? Yes. But can you place that with a better recruiting class in back-to-back years? Maybe so. Do you think that this team can suddenly catapult from 3 wins to 6 wins with a favorable schedule? I think the roadmap is there. But they're going to have to do some work in order to get to that place. I think there's some a little bit of questions on this roster right now as it stands, and I want to see the final roster when it's all said and done in about a month, maybe 2 months, maybe even 3 months if it drags that far into it. Hey, my special thanks to Sal Montes for stepping in today on the UTEP football broadcast as well. Special thanks to Alberto Retta. Special thanks to the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. If you are just leaving the UTEP game and you want to get a chance to grab a bite to eat or get a drink, stop by and join us. 3233 North Mesa is where we will be. That'll do it for us here on our special Minor Talk broadcast. Special thanks to everybody back at the studio and everybody for listening here on the program. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off here tonight, and thank you so much for listening in to Minor Talk right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.